Tuesday the 13th of April, Koftes Nissen, Rabbi Yehuda Yonah Rubinstein, Out of Egypt, What Next?
Thank you very much again for inviting me to say this year. Yeah, don't worry, the Sforim are just there to scare you. We'll be out by night, we will finish by night. Yeah, don't worry, yeah. I was supposed to be in Pesach in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, the organization I was speaking for in Los Angeles 2 weeks before sent me an email explaining that the entire program had collapsed. And this is extremely sad and disappointing, particularly as I'd already bought 3 tickets for my children. That's $3,000. So I wrote to the fellow and I said, I'm very sorry that your program has collapsed, but I've spent $3,000. Here's the receipt. I really need it to be refunded. And he wrote back and said he's very busy refunding deposits that have already come in, and frankly, you're not a priority. So I wrote to him and I said, maybe the people that can afford $18,000 to spend a week with you can afford to lose $3,000, but I'm just a poor rabbi, and I can't. I think I am a priority. And it started to get a bit unfortunate and unpleasant, and I mentioned the B word, Beistin, which you seemed to find an outrageous suggestion. And as it started to get unpleasant, and just at that time, sadly, I didn't actually know, the week before, the editor-in-chief of Targum Press, an extraordinarily nice fellow, who, my third book coming out in Elo, my third book's coming out, did you hear that, Berger? And he's got my fourth book there already, it's a busy place, and this wonderful fellow was in a place called Buffalo, New York, 3 weeks before Pesach, saying a hespen had his shvez labaya, when he dropped down dead in the middle of the hespen. Imagine that, his poor wife crying her eyes out losing her daddy, and now she loses her husband in the midst of a terrible thing. And when that happened, I thought to myself, you know, it's only money. I mean, when you have a reality, it's only money. So I wrote to the fellow, I said, this is what's happened. Stop the only money. You pay me when you can. And the Almighty must have approved this, because he said, Yehuda Yoina, you've done such a nice thing, I will make British Airways go on strike, so you get your $3,000 back again. I had intended to fly from Los Angeles to Toronto for Shabbos and Godel, and then fly back for the Pesach program, and I still felt it my duty to go to Toronto, so I went there for the Shabbos and Godel in Russia. And of course, what we're talking about today is, it's time, what came next? So let's start for a second about what came before.
These speeches you didn't manage to get out.
Yes, this is all 23 shiurim, that's right. Squished into half an hour, this fellow's going to start crying any second. Anyways, Bekitzur, I saw here a very interesting Bnei Sosa. Of course, Bnei Sosa is Chassidish Sefer, so he goes into Londres, which is, I find very interesting. He wants to know why it's called Shabbos. And he says a very interesting idea. There was a Machlokas, as we all know, between Yosef and the brothers. What was in the Kudah from Machlokas? So everybody knows that Yosef goes and tells Yaakov all the accusations against the Bnei Leah. It was Taka the Bnei Leah. And one of the accusations is that they were eating Eva Menachai. Were they eating Eva Menachai? So Chazal say, what happened was that they shechted the animal. As you all know, when you shecht an animal, the same way as you pull a chicken's head off, it still runs about the place. There are little electrical circuits firing in their nerve cells so that it's still moving. It's obviously dead because you're holding its head in your hand, but it runs about the place. After you shecht an animal, then the animal moves about. It looks very distressing, actually, but you can attach electrodes to the brain and prove the animal's dead, but it jumps about for about 3 or 4 minutes after it's been shechted. Al pi halacha, for a goy, they're not allowed, a non-Jew is not allowed to eat, to butcher the carcass until it's stopped moving, until it hasn't moved anymore. For a Jew, as soon as you shechted it, it's got the deen of a dead animal, you can butcher it straight away. The Rabbani don't like it, and we wait tack until it's stopped moving. But technically you could do such a thing. The brothers had shechted an animal and immediately started butchering it because they believed, listen to this, the Bnei Sosa says, they believed that they had now had the deen, after all they're Nadim, they have the stage at the deen of Bnei Yisrael. Yosef held, no, they've got the deen, the status of Bnei Noach. They're still going. They're still going. And that was the point of the argument. His taking this to Yaakov is this the clue. Interesting, he says, what's the shayla? What's the machlokas about? Take it to Yaakov Avinu and ask him to paskin. says very interestingly, you see from this quite clearly that it was not clear to either Yitzchok or to Yaakov what the situation was, what the deen was, before Matan Torah. Are we B'nai Noach or are we B'nai Yisroel? It was a sophic. And therefore that's why it became a machlokes between the brothers. Nobody could say, this is the deen, this is the psak. Fine. Then he says very interestingly, when it comes to the 10th of Nisan, Shabbos HaGadol, the Pasuk says, Mishkochu, you've got to take the animal, and you've got to shlep the animal, and you've got to take the animal. That's the lamb, and tie it to the bed, I'm going to shift it, etc., etc. Everybody knows that stuff. Now he says interesting, I'll read this a little bit to you, because this is, I think, this intriguing idea. What's going on here, when a person, he says, if a person wants to, he's quoting from the Chidon, if a person wants to buy a chepetz, a thing, the mitzvah derisa from, mitzvah derisa, for example, he says, keep going, coin an esser of the mitzvah, you want to buy an esser, not to eat it, but for the mitzvah of the Abba meaning. In a kind of a mashicha levad. It's not kind of a mashicha levad, the who kinyan midrabon, that's not a kinyan midrabon. And as what you need here is a kinyan derisa, then you need to have a kinyan kesef. Okay? But tzarech nitim kesef, the habi kinyan midrisa, because of alzeh harav chidon, the chidon says, and now the huadin bekesef, beloy mashicha gamke. The Rabbanim says that you need also Mashiach. For a kinyan deraisa you need, for such a thing, for an esrog or something like that, you would need both Mashiach and you would need kesef. Right. What about goy? A kinyan of a goy. So that's Machlokes Rashi in Rabbi Natan. Is it kesef or is it Mashiach? Rashi says kesef. Kinyan mods. And Rabbi Natan says Mashiach. We are not sure, so I have to do both. He says a very interesting comment. We're not sure, but Shemayim, they're sure. We here are in Sophic. Which one applies? Rashi Shita or Rabbi Natan Shita? So we'll do both. But Shemayim, they're quite clear. So when Hashem Yisbara turned around and said to Klal Yisrael, Mashiach, who? Do Mashiach and take it. That means that you're required to do a Kinyan Deraisa for a Yisrael. He says an interesting thing. It must mean, if they're in Sophic, before then, whether they've got a deen, this is Machlokas and the brothers again, whether they've got a deen Yisrael or a deen of a goy, that means they were not allowed ever to keep Shabbos properly. That means that Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov had to be Mechal Shabbos. Because if they've got a deen of a goy, and if a goy keeps Shabbos as we know, it's a chiv misa. So they weren't sure. Sorry, I'm saying that Avram, how was Mechal Shabbos? They wore tzitzis. Because they wore tzitzis, you don't have to wear tzitzis, they didn't have carrying, therefore Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and all of them, had to be Mechal Shabbos. When Yosef goes in, the Pasuk says that Yosef goes in, the Pasuk says, Yobo Beisel Asas Malachtoi, the whole story of the Ishus Patifar, he came into the house, La Asas Malachtoi, Chazal said it was Shabbos, La Asas Malachtoi, he's coming to do a Malacha, because he wouldn't be allowed to keep Shabbos. But now, the indication of take the say and to do two kinyon, from Midaraisa, they were no Sophic. If it were the din of a goy, you could say it was either Kesef, or it's going to be Mashiach, but they have to do both. They must have a deen of Yisrael, that means for the first time in history, Yidden had to keep Shabbos properly. All the halachas, not the Mechal Shabbos. Interesting. So therefore, at that point, Klal Yisrael now, according to him, have the deen of Taka, have the deen of Yisrael. Now the Sedra is the Sedra Tisriyam, and you all remember the Rashi says at the beginning, what is the juxtaposition of Shemini, at the end of Shemini, and Tisriyam. So he says, of course, it's the same as the Seder Ha'olam, the way the Rosh Hashanah created the world. First came the animals, and then came the human beings. Sefer Ber Yosef says a very intriguing idea. I find this a very exciting idea. He says the reason for the juxtaposition is because, with regards to the animals, the list of the animals that were given at the end of Shemini, they are fixed. It's rigid. It's static. A cow is always a kosher animal, assuming it's not the untruth, of course. A pig is always not a non-kosher animal. And a hare, and a rabbit, etc. These are fixed. Then it goes on to a human being. Now it comes to a human being, we're not fixed. A person gets Tomei, a person gets Tohar, a person goes up, a person goes down, has Kedusha, has Tumah, that's our choice. We're fixed. Here, Klal Yisrael, here, Klal Yisrael are in a Medrega of, according to the B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael now. What comes after that? So, if you remember, we're given a triumph. So the Pasuk says, when it comes to Moro, then Vayomer, it says, the intercom mind, Shom Som Loichaik, this is our rebellion over no water to drink, Sham Som Lechaik Mishpat Som Nisa. We're given certain halachas. Rashi says Shabbos, Paraduma, various other things, and there was a testing going on here. The Ramban says what was the testing. The Ramban's lotion is to see whether the coming of these mitzvahs besimcha betub lebov, whether they would find it geschmack, whether they would be into it or not, whether they would enjoy it. Before then, of course, Father Stroll kept, he even kept Torah and mitzvahs, but it was on the basis of a voluntary basis. As the Rashi says, there's a whole list there in the Pasuk in Bereishis, when it talks about Avram Avinu, Eikam Asher Shomo Avram B'Koyli, this is Kof Vov in Pasuk Hey, Eikam Asher Shomo Avram B'Koyli, V'Yishmar Mishmati Mitzoysa Kukhoysa B'Tzorasa. Rashi gives a whole list of exactly what these are, that he kept the Rabbonims, he kept the Torah Shemal Peh, etc. The Ramban is a bit uncomfortable with this. He says, if that's true, how did they marry two sisters? How did Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? How did Amram marry his aunt? B'chulu b'chulu, to give the whole list. He says, perhaps what it means, these manushai, these divisions of the Pasuk, Mishmati, Misoisa, Kukoisai, is referred to Mrs. Ben Enoch. And then his second answer, as everybody remembers, is no. Maybe that it means, exactly what Rashi says, the answer why Yaakov could marry two sisters, why Amram could marry his aunt, is because that was the Chutz La'aretz. If through Nevi'ah, through prophecy, they saw that such a thing was necessary, but as long as it wasn't necessary, they could, the halacha would become a little bit elastic. But now we come to a stage where the halacha becomes fixed. Then they're starting to be given halachas, and to see whether they're going to be into it, whether they're going to enjoy keeping the halachas or not. Were we? Did we enjoy keeping the halachas or not? Was it the simcha or the tuv levov? So of course now we're counting the omer. And there's many facets to the counting. Oh, well, one, of course, is the theme of the death of Rabbi Kivas Talmidim, the Gemara in Yevamos and Machdalot. Another thing is, of course, that we're trying to repeat the process that Klal Yisrael went through. It's a hemshach of the Mishnah in Psochim, and what we say in Agoda, Chayat Odom Niras Asatzol Kivu Yerz Mitzrayim. You've got to see yourself as you're going out. Because if you see yourself as though you were there, and you're through the process, you'll be repeating the process. And Klal Yisrael went from the 14th level of spiritual degradation to the 14th level of an incredible, well, unbelievable, Mamad Har Sinai. So therefore, if we were to draw the charts, then what we see is down there, and it would go in a large diagonal, and it would reach to the top. Gevaldik. But of course, that's clearly not what happened, is it? Clearly not what happened. So, here is Rav Shlomo Volbe, Zechasan Nivracha. Rav Shlomo Volbe quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. And here, he says the following thing. This is a Messi, in Lamed Dalad, in the first Chelik. And it says, it's called Yimei Ahava, but Yimei Sina, but Hayyush. Interesting words again. Yimei Ahava, days of love. Yimei Sina, days of hatred, or hate. The Yish and despair. Listen, Kol Animsa Tekufa B'Mshechas B'Mokim Torah. Anybody here who's ever spent any time in a Mokim Torah, whether you learned in Yeshiva or whether you went to a Yachikala, any intense time of Torah study, then Makir Hetiv Zmani Haliyah B'Zmani Yerida. You will recognize quite clearly times of Aliyah and times of Yerida. And the Chalvin taught it, and they're always flipping and flopping, changing one from the other. When I went to Gesed Yeshiva, there were many times, when I realized that accepting me as a Bochin Yeshiva was probably the wisest thing that either Reb Leib ever did. I was flying and learning Gemoras and enjoying it enormously. Bochum were coming asking me chat toasts. Davin was gewaldic, everything was fantastic. And a month later, as they say in America, I couldn't understand that thing. A complete klutz, holding the Gemara upside down, you know, everything's just, you may have it and you may see it. There are times in a person's life when everything is flying, in ruchnias, and times when you're just struggling, you think you're a complete waste of space. And he says that these change, b'zman aliyah, when it comes to the time of aliyah, hatzlocha kalas tefisa, you have everything success, kalas tefisa, you understand things very easily, ha'oras shal koshias ha'etaritzi, you understand the questions, you understand the answers, kevonus v'tefila v'yasam toivim l'chaderim, and you're on well with better, your davening's gevaldik, was man how you read it. Time of you read it, oh, kosh, you can't understand a thing, steam is hamainas, nothing's working, kveris, but feel of a richet, but you're not getting on well with people, you've been on kveris, heaven's a mess. Is this ringing bells? Have you ever been through this period at all? I remember Reb Lev Gurevitz of Hasadi Brochim and Rosh Yeshiva telling me that once there was a group of Bochrim in the Mir in his time who used to be sent, as it were, an elite group to hear Shirim from the Briska Rov. So they went to hear a Shir from the Briska Rov, and I suppose it was just a little room and all standing there, and the Briska Rov said, "Oh, where is Shir?" Now, of course, the Briska Rov was renowned for genius at a level which was well, world famous. And this dude then, he gave a Shir, and it was, you know, it was okay. The next day, they went to hear the next. And again, it was okay. But they were disappointed, because they didn't come to hear a Shir that was okay. They came to hear a Shir that was world-shattering. The third day, again, it was just an ordinary Shir. To which, the Briska Rov saw one of them raising the eyebrows at the other, and simply said, "Yemesina Raboisa, Yemesina." It's Yemesina. It's a time for me where I'm struggling. I mean, at his madriga. But even a Briska Rov, everybody goes through periods where it goes up and it goes down. Okay. This is what Sefer Yosher Rabbeinu Tam says. Kol maskil la'asas shum maisa. Whatever a person tries to engage in anything, and you get any benefit, any pleasure from it, the conus boy at time. It's gishmak. You're attracted to doing it. You've got the first attraction to doing it because it's an enjoyable experience. You get hano from it, pleasure from it. But after that, it wears out and it goes down. But Cain is chafatonim. This is a perpetual situation. One comes and then exchange with the other one. Whole famous Rabbeinu Tam here. Then let's skip a little bit. But Zeh Makiv says here of Shlomo Volman. Zeh Makiv Sefer Yosha is kol mahalach tukufas alvedus alena alvedus Hashem. In this process that we're outlining is the blueprint of every single one of us in our alvedus Hashem. That it is a constant process that applies to you and I and apply to them as well. That means to say that in 49 levels of Tumah, and 49 levels of Kedushah, so that we're drawing a chart, it would be down there, and they went through 49 days, we're repeating this, copying this, we're trying to, when we count the Omer, it was like that, is rubbish. We know that for a fact. I just quoted to you the Apostle, which said 3 days after he sees this round, they had a rebellion. Where's the water? We know, there's no water. What did we come here for? Well, let's go back to Egypt. He goes, good night in Egypt. I mean, this is a tourist resort. So, voof. And then they pick themselves up. And then another rebellion. No food. And then another rebellion. It wasn't one uninterrupted line from Mitzrayim to Har Sinai. It was disaster after disaster after disaster. The line went like that. It says Rav Shlomo Volman, but the line of life goes like that. Your life's like that. Our lives are like that. You may have it. You may see it. Days when you're flying, when your Yiddishkeit is great and you're proud of the yarmulke you're wearing and the tzitzit barat and the statement that you're making by being from Judah. And other days when you feel an embarrassment by wearing those symbols. So he says, "Hinei nelamdim mikan," you're not talking from here. "Ki chiluf matzoni haruach." This process that we're discussing now is dover tivoyu. That's the natural state. "V'ein la'yat nisyayish klal begye yinesina." And you should not despair when a person finds in their own life, in their own Yiddishkeit, times when they are struggling. You know? You don't give up, he says. Of course, if you give up, then it's a disaster. When you're going through, you may see that. Says Rosh Hashanah Volba, take it easy on yourself a bit. Don't reach for the sky. He's not saying compromise in this. He's saying, but you know, the fact that you're not achieving, you're not learning, okay, take it easy. That's just, goes through a tough time. I'll last a month or two, and then you'll fly again. You can't remember, but it's there. Do the best you can. Keep the basics and don't reach for the sky. Then you won't lose what you've already achieved. And not only that, he says, and this is very important, that when the person is in an up, he says you can be marich the up. You can extend the spiritual high when you achieve it by finding chidush. When a person is flying, the more that you put in to, when you really, it's all coming as a natural. The more you learn, the more you achieve. In fact, when mentioning books, and I'm not trying to sell my books here, but very often when I'm an American legend or something, I'm selling books, so people want me to autograph them. and I put in a little brocha. The best brocha I can ever think to give anybody is, and I often write that, you should have a life of achievement. You should have a life of achievement. Because if you feel you've achieved, it means you've maximised the potential that you have, and you feel very gishmackless. Whereas if you don't feel you've achieved your potential, you feel frustration, and you start to hate yourself. A life of achievement. He says, when you're going through that, now let's translate, you may have it as times of achievement. When you're in that up, then the more you can achieve in that time, when things are coming easy to you, the more that perpetuates you being there. You can extend the time that you're up and minimize the time that you're down. And then he goes on and says, "Begam betafach yitzar koshes." And when it comes to the difficult times, in the essential answers, don't get upset by this. You're talking, "Gidavka mitoich hatakuvas shol yitzar hinina lindim." It's perhaps specifically at those times, when you're struggling, and you find yourself struggling, "Mama min lavat," how can you succeed? But the thing that's pulling you down, to analyze and say, what brought me down, it's that point specifically that your Yetzirah is attacking you about, because you notice in that point specifically, that's the key to your greatness. That's the key to your greatness. In other words, when the Yetzirah comes, it realizes that you have a weak spot. In overcoming, and the Sorin Seir, so that Cohen spends a lot of time on this, the very thing that he spends most of his time trying to pull you down on, by definition, is the point which would make you greatest. After all, let's talk about Manchester United. In Manchester United, as you know, are not doing too well at the moment. Now, of course, as this is in London, you're probably delighted. But the reason, apparently, I don't actually know very much about this, is because there's a guy called Wayne Rooney. He's got a head like a turnip. But apparently he's quite good at scoring goals, and at the moment he's broken his ankle or something like this. That means to say that their star player is out, and they're in a mess. But if the star player was there, you know, if I was on the opposite team, if I wasn't, you know, if you could just, you know, if you could just break his leg, you know, you might win the league. So if your star player, your star meter, if it is out, then you come crashing down. Where is the Yetzirah there for them to attack you? You're Wayne Rooney. What a profound sheer. I bet you're glad you came in. What did he talk about? Wayne Rooney. What a reader. Okay, but that's the nakuda at which he's going to get. In analysing what he pulls you down on, says Ripsola Gakoran, then that's the point you should be working on. People go up and people go down. And where he's going to go is your most vulnerable point, but the same vulnerable point is the place where you could reach greatness. Aber hugam tikkun nafshu befrat, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen. But that is the tikkun. That same point is the tikkun of yourself. He called echog nivra tikkun eizadov befrat. Everyone is here in order to achieve just one thing. Asher boi nizkiachad nafshu befrat ein lon chever. One which is unique to you. The Alshuk HaKodesh. My fourth book is translating with the inspiration and sponsorship of that gentleman sitting over there, David Rose. I've been asked to translate the Alshus commentary, Pirkei Avos, which I'm more than halfway through at the moment. And I found there an incredibly interesting Alshuk in Mishli Kov Beis in Yud Zayin. Here the Alshuk says three principles, which one of them is very, very well known. The second one is such a chiddush, such an exciting idea, I was literally jumping up and down when I saw it. The pasuk says, "Ha aus nacho shma divrei chachamim." Incline your ear and listen to the words of the chachamim, libcho tosu soldati, and tashlom amelech ribig, as it were, putting himself in the place of Hashem, and your heart should listen to my das, that's Hashem's Torah. So he says, point number one, everybody knows this, listen to this. "He mufasemis b'maimer chazal," well known throughout Maimori Chazal, "ki kolona anachna hanoldu mi'az nisna ha-Torah ad seif kol ha-Dos." Before we were born, we were taught kol ha-Torah kula, ad seif kol ha-Dos. Ad seif kol ha-Dos. Shom nimsov nashos shom hoyom. All our souls were there, in our mother's womb, along with Amalek, being taught everything. Veshom ha-Bipi yizbarach, Torah shmiksav, ad Torah shmalpeh. And we were taught all the Torah Shmiksav and Torah Shmalpeh. Listen carefully to those words, we're going to come back to it in a second. You were taught Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shmiksav and Torah Shmalpeh, Tualehu Fratehu, the general and the specifics. Add to them, the complete thing. From the first Mabresh Shrabah, and the Mabresh Shrabah, and the Zohar, etc., many places. So far, so good. Point number two. Hodeinu Chazal B'Shmos Rabah. Kikol mash mechadish poi, kol tamad chochem. Everything that is mechadish here by any tamad chochem, a brisker up, a rabbi kiva ega, whoever you want. Mevrobin from his mind, eno chodesh mash. It's not really new, is it? Well, is it? Let me just make a little bit, just a few more seconds. Let me put it the way Rabbi Dessler does, because I think this is absolutely brilliant. This is in the Kedet Dalet, page 162. Rabbi Dessler here says, with regards to this idea, he says, when it's Gemara Nidin and Lamed Omid Beis, Malam Delona should call out the Yosef Uber B'mei Eloi, when we were still the fetus in our mother's womb, then Soifel Mabin is Soifel Olam Atzlaif. We were shown from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and taught Kola Terakula. Malam Delona is Kola Terakula. What's wrong with the statement you were shown from one end of the world to the other end of the world? The world is a circle. The circle has got no beginning and no end. So it's a meaningless statement. Unless you understand it means from one end of the world, the beginning of the world, to the end. You're shown the whole of time and taught Kola Terakula. Says the Al-Sheikh, that means to say that if you were taught Kola Terakula and shown Kola Terakula through time, that means to say the Rabbi Kiva Eger was taught Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Brisker Rav was taught the Brisker Rav story. The Rambam was taught Mishnah Torah. Your job is simply to make yourself the person who could be called the Rambam, Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Brisker Rav, to be able to liberate that which you already taught. You know the famous story of the Nasiv, Natali, see you heard of him. That he once made a seal in Mashas and held his camera by Gala Brand, and he told them a true story about himself when he was a young man in Yeshiva. When he was messing about and not applying himself, his parents were aware of this, he had them discussing his fate, and they decided, as they were obviously not cut out to be a Talmud Chacham, they would take him out of Yeshiva and they would apprentice him to be a Jula. So he got a shock from this, he begged for another opportunity to prove his mettle. And 6 months later he turned himself around. But he said to him, suppose I hadn't had that conversation. So one day he said, I'll be standing in front of the Beis Din Shalala. And they'll say, who are you? And he'll say, me? I'm Tolly Berlin, a jeweler from Manhattan. And they say, fine, Mr. Berlin, what's your full Hebrew name? Tolly Tzvi, fine, okay, we'll just get down your file. Why don't we get down your file and tell us something about yourself, Mr. Berlin? Sure, I was born in the old country, and I went to yeshiva. And then I was apprenticed to be a jeweler. I went to New York, opened a jewelry store, very successful. Another jewelry store, met a young lady, fell in love, got married. We had a kosher family. We had a Paris mishpacha, Shabbos, kashrus. I went to Dafa Yomi. And then one day I died. Actually, 3 seconds ago. And they said, well, yes, we got your phone here, Mr. Berlin. Mr. Berlin, have you ever heard of a book called Hemik Brocha. Hemik Brocha? Don't think so. Okay. How about a book called Hemik Dova? Have I had a book called Hemik Dova? Hemik Dova? No. Mr. Berlin says here you wrote them. Me? Sorry. Wrong foil. Tolly Berlin. You know, the jeweler from Manhattan. I didn't write no books. Or I went to share. I didn't write no books. But you could have. But you could have. Far more embarrassing than being shown the DVD version of all the bits that you'd rather not see there, is being shown the alternative version of who you could have been. But it's more than that. According to this Al-Sheikh, what it is it's already in you. The book's already there. Your job is to liberate the book. Your job is to liberate the book. So I've got to see yourself as though we're going out from Mitzrayim. That means to say we've got to copy the process. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the process is just an uninterrupted line that went from Mitzrayim to Har Sinai. Not at all. There was disaster after disaster, mistake after mistake. The Yitzhar would come to them, but they had the seichel to realize where he was attacking them, where their weakness lay, work on that, remedy that, and that would take them up. That's the pattern of life. That's all we have to do. And when the Yitzhar comes, and it's Yemei Sinai, and you're struggling, you never despair. Because in that struggle is the key to your greatness. That's the bit he's trying to get. Because inside you might be a book, or it may be a shir, or it may be a Dvar Torah. And it's already been taught to you. It was taught to you in the womb. Moshe Rabbeinu was shown every Talmud, every note, every shir, every that was ever going to be given. It was already written. You were shown that as well. it and you. The Yitzhar will tell you it's not you. Klal Yisrael would never have got Har Sinai if we'd never understood that what we learned in Rav Shlomo Volber. When a person goes down, that's the natural state. Instead of being depressed about it, what brought me down? Where does my weakness lie? How do I remedy it? Pick myself up, dust myself up, off, and start all over again.